Blog Talk Radio.
The Shelly Nunchuck Show with my two little furball co-hosts, Jackie Chan Kitty and Rocky Balboa. Right now, I'm trying to chase the little kitten around because he's trying to get in the sink and cause a little mischief with the dishes in the sink. Dirty cat, dirty cat, dirty cat. Anyway, got some announcements, and I'm going to have a special caller be calling in a little while. But recently, I'm going to start promoting a fitness center, which I actually am working out at, and I am so super pumped. I can't even tell you how super pumped I am to work out at Obie's Fitness Center in Maine. There's a couple locations, and I know that the one I'm working out at is the Westbrook, Maine one, and it's a 24-hour gym, and I just love it. I've always loved fitness centers. I've always loved working out, even though I've been slacking off a little bit. Now I'm back at the gym. It's close by, and I can go every day, so I'm super pumped about it. The good thing about this gym, which, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, that can be a little bit intimidated, but let me tell you that I actually spoke with the owner of the gym, Obi himself, and he does really do care about health and fitness of his clients, and it's a very comfortable atmosphere, and I enjoy going there. It has all the machines that you need. It has the sauna, and I definitely enjoy the sauna. Hold on for a second. Yeah, let me know. Go, 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 go. Be a good kitty. Hey, hey, hey. Chasing the kitten around here. He's trying to, you people just don't even understand. He gets so jealous because I'm not paying attention to him. Well, I got him a new little toy. Here, play with that. Kitten. Well, anyway, I'm back to talking about the fitness center. Yeah, it's really nice. I love it. I'm so much in a better mood. I'm a little sore, but I can't wait to go back tomorrow morning. I know it's a 24-hour gym, but I can't wait to go back. I'm so super pumped. I wanted to give a shout-out to another, my friend, Teresa Dern. Teresa Dern actually has a business back in Boston. It's called Eat My Dust. Oh, if you want to check out OB Fitness Center, which is, it has expert trainers, professional equipment, great location and atmosphere, free membership with training sessions, 24-hour gym access for training, which they actually do give you like a key card, which is kind of cool. The Eat My Dust house cleaning service, it's serving the South Shore in Massachusetts, earth-friendly and pet-friendly, and it says to find her on Facebook or to schedule a cleaning, call Teresa at 323-704-6812 or email Teresa Dern, TheresaDern at yahoo.com. And you can actually, you know, go there and check it out. And the other one that I wanted to speak about, I want to bring it up. And it's actually the fundraiser, and it's Too Big for the World. It's a fundraiser for a unique film about a woman's dream and about muscular women in the world and the struggle to be accepted for who they are. And I actually had on my Facebook page about that, where they're trying to actually close down women's bodybuilding competition, like the Arnold Classic, Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic. They're trying to shut that down and some others, and there's actually a fundraiser. And if you go and check it out, I'm trying to see where I actually put it on my Facebook page here. And here it is. Let me see. I'm going way, way down. Too Big for the World. And it's actually, that fundraiser is on Indiegogo. And you can check it out. They have 23 days left to raise $20,000 is only $2,760. So if you go to Indiegogo and Too Big for the World, it's a unique film about one woman's dream and about muscular women in the world and their struggle to be accepted for who they are. And you can order a DVD or other perks now. And you can actually check that out. And it actually says on here, the contest, it talks about the women bodybuilding. It's a competition. As you compete in this competition, win great prizes, and show your support for female bodybuilding in a contest. Film yourself and say I support female bodybuilding or take a picture with the sign. Put the video on YouTube and send a link to info@realityfilm.org or send it through WeTransfer/similar site. Email the photo. Then share the campaign on Facebook and other social media sites. The winner will be chosen by us and get a poster signed by Irene Anderson and the directors and digital download of Irene's workout DVD and exclusive T-shirt signed by Irene on the label inside. And you can actually let us go there, check it out, and there's also a petition to sign. So, you know, I mean, not this is not everybody's lifestyle, you know, to each their own. And, you know, it's just all the stuff that these women have to go through and have to deal with. It's just amazing me how people say live and let live and let bygones be bygones or whatever. But the sad thing is that these women that really work hard, let me say that I am sore and I'm trying to get myself into shape. You know, when you think of muscles and stuff and people working out, people saying about steroids, and I guarantee you, myself, you know, I'm working out, and I'm a sore as heck. And this is like the second day of working out and not using steroids or anything, just working out. It's really a lot of hard work, and you really have to treat your body like a product. It's like a living machine, so it's a lot of hard work. So if you want to check that out, feel free to check it out. It's at, once again, it is Too Big for the World, and it's actually on Indiegogo. And, yes, I'm so super pumped right now, just super, super pumped, because I indeed enjoy the gym. So, of course, I will actually, you know, support that. And once again, I'm very psyched. I put on my Facebook album on my Facebook page about OB Fitness. And there's a picture of OB there. I think it's my Facebook. And it shows, you know, the gym there. And I actually took pictures of the trainers. I have to put that into the album, too, and that I'm looking, you know, watching the trainers and such. And, you know, it seems like they really do care about their clients. And people enjoy going to this gym. you know, fitness center. I don't know what you call it, political correctness, if you want to say gym, fitness center, it's all the same you're working on. And I've, you know, I've been around gyms, and I get feedback from people how, you know, some gyms they, you know, they don't feel comfortable in. They feel intimidated. Me, myself, I've always, you know, felt comfortable, and once I get into lifting the weights, you know, right where the guys are, I just think that, you know, if you're there to work out and you do your thing, no one's going to really bother you. And everybody has to do it one step at a time. And if you want to lose the weight, get in shape, you know, do it for yourself. Who cares what anybody else says? No one's going to bother you at the gym, you know, and if you're looking for a trainer, and, it, you know, I know, believe me, I know it's a very sensitive subject, but if you go to the gym, it's for yourself. And you have to start somewhere. It's one step at a time. And I know that some gyms, people felt very intimidated, so I heard stories, but at Obie's Fitness, it's just a nice, welcoming fitness center. And I just can't wait to go back tomorrow morning. I actually want to stop my show right now and actually go to work out right now. It's crazy. I can't wait to work out. Even though the kitten has caught me up, like, I have this weird schedule now. The kitten gets up at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning. I've been waking up at 3 o'clock, and I try to go back to sleep. But, you know, it has me chasing him around the house because he's a kitten. He's got, like, gnaws up his butt, like the Fast and the Furious, like Vin Diesel, and, you know, driving, like, a car real fast with gnaws. And I swear to gosh, this kitten is just full of energy. And it's just like as soon as the gnaws runs out, he just passes out. And you people don't even see this while I'm doing the show, and I'm talking about a fitness center, and I got a cat going crazy. You're like, goodness, you don't see it. But, you know, I'm just so very, very thankful. I enjoy fitness centers. So that's just always been part of my – I've worked at fitness centers, and I enjoy going to the fitness center where I'm going now. And like I said, I can't wait to go back. And on top of that, I see, you know, those big, huge tires. I'm, like, looking at it. I'm, like, acting like Beavis from, like, Beavis and Butthead. I'm like, oh, yeah, look at that tire. And you work out with these big, huge tires. I'm just getting so super pumped. I can't wait to go back tomorrow. Even though, granted, I knew it was going to happen, it's, like, I tried to be careful because you get so super pumped about going to a gym. And I kind of, you know, I'm a little sore. Upper body. I try to be careful, and I don't want to tear anything because, you know, people that do start going back to gym, you do start getting excited and stuff. And it's just the atmosphere, and it's, you know, what's even nicer about it is the sauna. And I'm sitting there, and it's like, oh, I love the sauna, and you're sweating, you're dripping, you're all smelly. Because, you know, when you go to a fitness center, you're there, you should work out, and you strip sweat and stuff like that. And if your makeup's still on, you don't work out good enough. I'm trying to bring up the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame, where I'm also doing, let me bring that up here, on the official site. I'm one of the board of advisors. I was welcomed on board by John G. Hagner, the owner, CEO of the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame, which is a nonprofit organization. If you go to the website, look up Falling for the Stars, and it's a nonprofit Hollywood nonprofit organization, the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame. And somewhere on there on the bottom of the list of the board advisors, my name is up there, Shelly Lunchucks, and I was welcome on board this. And what I'm trying to help do is actually raise money for this museum. And you can actually go into the site itself, the website, and about the museum, hundreds of exhibits of rare artifacts and memorabilia of stars and stunt performers of motion, picture, and television featuring personal items of John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, Steve McQueen, and stunt legends of the movies including Yakima Kunut, Cliff Lyons, Dave Sharp, Ronnie Mundell, and hundreds of others. There are over 350 concrete blocks that contain the footprints and handprints, as well as signatures of many of the greats of the cinema, and a collection that outranks those that are located at the Mann's Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. This rare collection had taken its founder, John G. Hagner, more than 65 years to gather and preserve for posterity, featuring parts of costumes, weapons, stunt equipment, photos and paintings, and drawings, hats and caps, boots and shoes, and hundreds of items from the movies and television, plus videos, films, and film clips. The Hall of Fame has been in existence since 1973 and became a nonprofit organization in 1984, dedicated to preserving the history of the stunt profession and to honoring stunt people the world over. Currently, the Hall of Fame is without a home, and it needs financial support to enable them to afford a building in which to welcome visitors. Anyone interested in participating in this effort may make a tax-deductible donation to the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame, mailed to 81 West Kane Creek Boulevard, 81 West Kane, K-A-N-E, Creek, C-R-E-E-K Boulevard, number 12, Moab, M-O-A-B, Utah, 84532. For more information, contact John Hagner at 435-260-2000. 435-260-2160. Again, John's number is 435-260-2160. His email address is johnhagner@gmail.com, johnhagner@gmail.com. For additional information, go to Facebook and click in, Falling for Stars, then Artist of the Stars, then Stunt Stars and Legends, and check out those pages too. So, yes, in a little while, I'm going to be having a caller calling in, and I am so unbelievably super pumped. And that's the word of the day, pumped, you know, between the fitness center, OB Fitness Center, and, you know, gym there, just being pumped, it's the word of the night, pumped, you know, with the fitness center, get it. Yeah, I know, that's kind of a lame kind of joke. It just seems like, you know, I just want physical fitness. What can I tell you? And I'm just so super pumped that I get to go back to a gym that's close by and just work out. So, you know, I just want to end my show right now and actually go work out right now. That's how crazy I am. I know, I got to wait. Good things come to those who wait. And, you know, I myself, I just, I looked at the, I lost all the weight that I wanted to lose. I was 175 and I got on the scale and I'm 157. So, you know, I'm like, 5'8". I don't know about all those, you know, weight per whatever, blah, blah, this and that. I'm like 43 years old. My height's like 5'8". So 157 is really not that bad. I wear weight really well because I'm tall. The thing is that I know that with working out, I will gain weight, but it's actually a very good weight. And that's what I think people need to really realize, like when they're working out and they lost the weight. But when you're working out, you're gaining weight, and it's actually a really good muscle. You know, working out isn't going to, like, you know, women say, I don't want to lift weights because it's going to make me look like a man. No, you can get cut and still look feminine. You know, some of us, like myself, I want to have a six-pack, and I'm not doing it for a man. Don't care what anybody says. This is what I want. And you got to remember that, I mean, everybody's body chemistry is different. I know my own body. And as that I've known my stomach muscles, when I don't work out, it'll be, you know, more softer. It's not going to be totally flat. It'll have like a little bulge, and this is the truth of what it is. So what I have to do is I have to, you know, it's kind of like flat, but it's not like flat. Like I don't want to be built like a little boy or something like that. People tend to forget that, you know, as an older woman, I want to look like a woman, but I'm an older woman. I don't want to look like I'm 20 years old or something like that. I mean, I do want to look younger, but I think the fountain of youth is actually working out, and that's what it really is. And you're just sweating, you know, exercise is very good for you. It raises, I think it does raise endorphin levels. It kind of makes you, like, have this, I guess, this high feeling, which makes you feel good. You know, you're sweating out toxins, you're moving, you're getting your blood flowing, probably, like, all that plaque is building up in the cholesterol and your bloodstream stuff. It's really, you know, it's really doing a positive thing. You know, it's something you're going to do a couple times a week, but, you know, sometimes I just get into this thing where I just want to work out every single day. It may be crazy and stuff, and they said in moderation, but for me, when I start working out, I start working out. Well, anyway, I like to move on, made all my announcements and everything like that, and I think there is someone in the caller in the queue, so give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Yes.
Hello?
Shelley, hello?
Yes, is who's this?
J.R. Hepburn.
Oh, yes, okay. I'm just pulling it up now. I was like, wait a minute, you sounded just like this other guy, Joe, that calls in once in a while. I'm like, this, I'm pretty sure this is you. How do you do? I'm good. I'm glad. Thank you for calling in. I'm so super pumped.
Yeah, I am too, definitely.
I know you called out, but I just want to, you know, invite you, you know, on my show in the future. And so, you know, I've been hearing so much, you know, we've been talking back and forth and, you know, about your film, Blue Suede. And I just like, I'm so super pumped because I'm an action girl. And you've got like quite a few people attached to this film of Blue Suede.
Yeah, I mean, it's really has risen to a life of its own. Ever since, you know, we were able to attach Robert Miano and Christina Rothrock to it, it's been one hell of a ride coming along.
I'm floored. Like, every time I hear something about your film, my jaw goes on the floor.
Well,
and I'm like,
to be honest, though, we've been real quiet lately because we have a lot of surprises, but we've been really working hard per distribution request to keep our mouth tight-lipped, but we do have some really crazy casting news to announce in a few weeks, and I think you'll be more happy than anybody about it.
Great. Now I'm so excited I'm going to pee my pants. I'm just like, don't do that to me.
Know how you are, more than likely you'll pick up on it before anybody, because I know you're constantly on our you'll read between the lines as time progresses. But I know you pick up on it before anybody else.
I'm never going to be like, oh my God, I'm like, just go. I'm just like, because every time I keep seeing them, it's like, no. And, you know,
But you know what, Shelly, though? I hate to break you up, hon. Our number one thing is, like, you know, we've just been working hard to make sure we try to put out the best quality action film we can. And pre-production is so very important, so very crucial, because one thing people don't realize, like a film like The Raid 2, which is to me honestly the best action film in a long time, and the choreography to get that, the planning of the choreography for the final scene took 6 months to prepare and 18 months in total to get all the choreography done correctly, you know?
You said The Raid 2, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, the thing is, I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to. You know what people were saying, which is so sad because it's in another language, it's in subtitles. People said that they walked out, and I'm like, how stupid can you be? You're paying to see the movie theater, and you're going to let something like subtitles, you know, I'm like, what? This is the feedback that I was getting with people, and I'm like, you know that, you know,
they've upped it in English since. The whole subtitles. Shelly, it's not people's fault. It's actually Sony's fault. I really want to say the company's fault, because they marketed and pitched the project in the U.S. market wrong. How they said it is that they know how our market is, and by making it easy accessible by dubbing it in English, a lot of audiences that picked up Discovered Raid 2 through Redbox and VOD would have jumped on it through the theater if it was a subtitle situation, you know? Because we've changed since the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon days. Our social media market has changed to a more fast pace, where people really don't have their attention span is not as it was 10 years ago. I mean, when Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon came out. It just really has changed the film market, you know. Look at Transformers 4, close to $1 billion, and just nothing but explosions.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you know, that's what I expected. I actually got to see that, and I knew that there was going to be explosions, so I was prepared for it. And the thing is, well, you know, and I know, I mean, in our circles and stuff, because like action, we enjoy the subtitles, and it's like you can train yourself to look at the subtitles,
exactly.
So I never let that stop me, and then you can see some of the greatest films. But I don't know what it is. I don't know if you can say it's laziness or just people don't. I mean, I don't know what it is, really, to tell you the truth, but, like, if you give it a chance and it's in subtitles, because I can't watch dubbing. I mean, when you go back into the 70s and stuff and you see those films, it's, like, great to watch them in dubs. But all the newer films that are now, it's great to watch some subtitles because it matches the mouth to the words, even in another language. I can't
and it keeps it authentic. It's like basically when Kill Bill, there were scenes where it wasn't subtitles because that was necessary. Quentin Tarantino wasn't going to dub that in English or put that in English because he wants to keep the authenticity. Like in Blue Suede, there's certain things, dialogue that's written, and it's written in a way that can only be said in Chinese and it can only be said in Japanese. And there's going to be subtitles in those scenes. And, you know, certain things can only be said in Italian. There's going to be subtitles for this scene, you know. And sorry, you know, people, that's just the way it is. Some parts will be English, some parts will be the natural language. But it depends on the people have to understand. When you put yourself in a position where you don't want to read subtitles, you shut yourself off to greater films that you want to see. You know, I agree with you in that regard. You're 100% correct.
Yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed it. I mean, since I was a kid, so it's kind of like, I think maybe because it's so long and I'm so used to it, It's the joy because the action that's done, it's crazy. It's crazier in Asia. They don't have the same, you know, I get a lot of feedback from people that are doing films. They don't have the safety, like, regulations as they do here in America. So it's like,
right.
I mean, look at Tony Jaa, how crazy he is, you know, all the stuff he does.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, wow. And, you know, speaking of crazy, I mean, is there any crazy stuff that you can let us know about your film, Blue Suede?
I can let you know. There's one scene that's in that's written in a script where our lead female villain removes a male member in a scene to basically let the audience know overall who she really is and how bad she really is as a villain, you know. Is when we first are introduced to the villain, the first thing she does, she shows up on scene, excuse my language, but she, we're not going to see it, obviously, but she takes off a man's penis.
Wow, that's insane. Chop, chop. Wow. Taking a man by the cojones, really?
Right. But it's an interesting scene because the way when I first wrote it, I really didn't want it to be something that, you know, cheesy, so we really reworked that scene, worked hard on making that scene effective, and the way we've structured the design of the scene is going to be very, very, it's very good, going to be very tasteful in that regards. It's going to be a lot of ode and a nod to the great guys that done things like that. Like, it's kind of going to be, remember Scarface, the chainsaw sequence? It's going to be something to that effect, where we can feel... we don't see it happen, but we just can cringe just the thought of it happening.
Yeah, it did. I think even at that time, now it's
right.
Like you probably look at it, it's a little bit more tame now, but at that time it probably really was really gruesome. I mean, Scarface is a gruesome overall film, but I think at that time, I think it really freaked out a lot of people because, you know, there was, what, the 70s, right? Late 70s,
yes.
Early 80s or something, I think. And even when you go to rewatch 82 it.
It came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And now that's kind of like, you know, whoa. Because it's Pacino, you know?
Exactly. But, yeah, it's going to be a fun shoot. I mean, we're excited. Everybody's excited about it, you know. You know, we're just excited just, like, you know, getting everything, because, like, you know, it's longer hours as we get closer. Location scouting and doing all the pre-production stuff, and then we're going to start choreography is going to start soon. Casting rehearsals for the casting will start soon. It's just a whole lot coming up in the coming up schedule.
Cool. I mean, I know I kid around and like everybody thinks I'm crazy, and I says, "Yeah,
you're not crazy. Come on,
you're
an action junkie like I am. You know,
yeah,
we love martial arts." You know?
Yeah, but when I said, like, see, you get it, because you understand what I said, like, because I said, yeah, have Cynthia kick me in the head. I'll just go down there, try to get down to Boston. I just want to have her, like, beat the crap out of me. And when I say that to people, I said, yeah, have her kick me in the head. And the film, they're like, Shelly, they can't really do that. I says, you get it, because it's not really real. You're not really getting kicked
right,
in the head.
Exactly.
But the things like, you know, hey, have her kick me in the head. And then Scott Atkins, he could have a turn. Have her kick me in the head. And I think it would be kind of awesome to have, it's like, you know, getting on set and it's like by these big name people. And I'm like, I'll be the most, you know, like Jackie Chan has the most injuries and he's in the Guinness Book of World Records. I want to be like, you know, the most person getting kicked in the head in all films. You know, I mean, just to have that's going in the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, I would love to, like, really be in the Guinness Book. You're not really getting kicked in the head. It's just like, you know, how many times in a scene do you get kicked in the head? And that's to go in the Guinness Book of World Records. That's, like,
right.
Just an awesome go. Whether I'm a lead or an extra, just to have a scene. Yeah, I got kicked in the head. It was like, come on. Would you not want to get kicked in the head by Jackie Chan? You know?
That's funny. But I do want to thank you though for your support though. I mean, like, you know, especially in this market art industry, it's very tough at times. You know, when you're trying to do something different to try to change the established order, a lot of people really do not believe it or they do not see it. And to have someone support you and completely believe in what you do is awesome. It feels good. you know.
Anytime I says, if you know, it's just that there's so much like me promoting, I keep forgetting. It's like, you know, all these things like, I want to promote this, I want to talk about that, because that's the stuff I grew up on, and it's not something where, you know, like girls like, oh, I like this because the guy likes it. No, I like this stuff. This is my stuff. I never really wanted to be Bobby. I wanted to be a ninja, you know, so here I am, and thinking that's like, yeah, of course. And speaking of ninjas, I got my cat climbing up the curtains over here trying to talk to you. You don't see this, but he's a kitten. And it's like, I'm like, get down. Thank God this isn't television, because you just don't even see this. I'm like, thank God.
You know who I was talking to? We were talking about you not too long ago. Charlie Howard, Alejandra and I were talking about you.
Oh, my big sis. How's she? Didn't you have a meeting with her or something? Her and Mel?
We were discussing over the firearms training and things of that nature for the film. And then we're going over, you know, gun safety, and we're going over the list of firearms that's going to basically potentially be used for the film. And your name came up, and she was just telling me, like, you were talking about the film, and she was so excited. She wanted to tell you at the time she was part of the film, but she couldn't yet because we hadn't got the contract yet. But, she was really – yeah, I just remember you were telling her about Cynthia Rothrock. She wanted to tell you that she was part of the film so bad.
Oh, what a sneak! I'm gonna bury Toby tonight. I'm like, no, I'm gonna go torture her tonight on our Facebook page. Aha!
Right.
Like, who else is in it? I know you like I think I probably know, but it's like there's names like I was trying to figure out. You know, who else was in it, but I can't remember because I'm having a brain fart live on the air right now.
Chuck Zito's in the film. You know, we do have Chuck Zito.
Mm-hmm.
We have several new names that we have yet to announce because, like, you know, we've been holding off, and, you know, because once we announce them, we want to just announce them, like, you know, one fell swoop. And I think, you know, you especially, I think, you know, we might even go the route and announce it on your show first. We might do that.
Well, I'll have you as a kid. That'll be awesome. Am I gonna like break my windows by squealing like a little girl every time you say a name?
I'm pretty sure you will. I'm pretty sure you will lose your mind.
No. Oh man, do you know when you're gonna start filming? Can you say anything about that? I mean, if not, that's okay. But I know before you said you might think of August, but do you have any idea at all?
We're having a huge meeting tomorrow, and then we have a follow-up meeting next week with our affiliates out in L.A. and, you know, the money guys. I'll go over the production schedule and going over stunt rehearsals, going over scheduling for the locations. It's a whole lot of stuff, and that's what sometimes at times it does. I do understand, you know, as an actor, an actress, you don't see that the things go on behind the scenes. And sometimes it is us producers and directors gets frustrating at times. You follow them? Because we see what's going on, and I know they cannot see. That's why sometimes, like, you know, with our location scoutings, our meetings as of late, as you've seen as my postings, I've been, in fact, inviting actors from our film, you know, to these locations and seeing the project and stuff that we got going on. So that way they feel part of the project. They know what's going on. They can see, you know, the work that we're putting in, the phone calls, the things that's going discussion. So we should have an idea positively within the next 2 weeks after our two meetings, and then we're going to make talk to our cast and crew. And then I'll let you know, definitely, because I need you on set, you know.
Yeah, and I always say, because I know that you can't – I know how it goes. You know, I've been on and working on sets, like there's certain things you can't say, but I say, people, if I can get to the set somehow and stuff and I'm part of it, I can write about it. Like, I worked on this film called Frostbite, and my articles are actually starting to get featured on Hub pages. So it was actually,
awesome.
I did Frostbite, and that, you know, I can try to do more promotions, bring it up on my show. If you have some promo stuff or have someone, if you can't be on the air, have someone, you know, call in and stuff.
Exactly. No, definitely. You know, 100%. Because I think we have some promotion stuff going on with Sirius sometime in September, Sirius Satellite, and that's going to happen in September. But that's far promotion. That's the only promotion we'll be doing moving forward until, you know, post production. right now, our main focus right now is just getting all our pre-production stuff wrapped up and start filming. That's our number one thing right now. You know, as you know, we're done marketing. We've marketed this thing to death for pre-production. We just moved on to our next phase of the film project.
Cool. You know? I'm going to be so psyched. Yeah. Now you got me on pins and needles, like, sitting here.
That's,
you know, all the way up
that's
here.
That's why I called it.
Thanks for the tease. Appreciate it. Thank. I just so appreciate it. I'm sitting here going, yeah, this is great. What's going on? Got to know. You need a rocking back and forth. Oh, man, you're torturing me. You know, absolutely torturing me right now.
Oh, man. No, I think you're going to be happy because, you know, you're a huge fan of the person that's affiliated with the person we just casted. And I think hand in hand, you know, you'll be very excited about the whole casting else.
I'm going to scream. I'm going to cause an earthquake. I'm going to get arrested. They're going to hear me out the window. I'm going to get arrested.
But that's why I like talking to you because you and I both know the martial arts world and we understand it. And, you know, I was as excited as I was about it. I'm pretty sure you're going to be just as excited because we know the martial arts world and we know what casting certain people in a film like this will mean to the Asian market, you know, to that industry.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, gosh. Yes, the Asian market. Oh, yeah. Awesome films from over there. They're definitely, you know, I'm always trying to study as much as I can and, you know, trying to learn.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
I can try to do stuff in my future, but I'm just so pumped because you know, the way that the radio show is going, getting great guests,
well,
you know, like
you're,
you are going to be, you know.
You're 5'8", 157 pounds, right?
Huh?
I said you're 5'8", 157.
Yeah, well, right
that's
now.
What you said.
Yes, listen, I'm like, no, this is what happens. I just ramble on. It's like improv. Nothing's really set up in a certain way. It's just like, I guess I have the gift of gab, and this is what happens when you leave me all alone on a show. Anything like can pop out of my mouth, it's like just going
right.
Blah, 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 blah. So try to do like, you know, if you've ever done stand-up, you got to go blah, 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 blah. You have to keep talking, you know, you got to keep going. And
right.
I guess I kind of bring the energy. I don't know half the time what I'm saying. I'm just going blah, blah,
right.
blah, blah. And it could be like anything.
You know, and
so.
Speaking of which, Scott and Cynthia have an event that they're doing in October. I'll get you the information from Cynthia. I believe it's in New York, if I'm not mistaken. I'll get you the information about the event.
Oh, okay. I probably hear about it, too, because people keep shooting me, like, I'm always promoting something in the martial arts world. It's everything, and it's like, I think they're in New Jersey, I think, or something.
I think that's what it was.
There's some, like, a whole bunch of people. I don't know if, like, James Liu and Don the Dragon Wilson, I think a whole bunch of people are going to be there. So it's something
exactly.
where I'm like, oh, they're going to be on the East Coast. It's like close but still far away. Oh, the tease.
Right.
I'm like, man, no, the tease.
Right.
That's it.
Exactly.
You just did this on purpose tonight, didn't you? I said, you want to call in?
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to tease Shelly.
Right.
That's what you're doing to me. Hey, leave me hanging. What a way to leave a girl hanging and get me all turned on, and it's like, oh, man, just go take a cold shower.
Oh, that's too funny. Do you have any projects coming up yourself?
We're still working on Falcare with Z. We're going to have to do the fight scene, so here I am. I'm going, thank God, with the way I'm promoting, I get to use a gym now, so I have to get more into shape. And it's just like,
right.
you know, that, and I'm so, it's kind of a couple things. You know, everything's money, right? And
right, exactly.
when you don't have money, even $500 is a short film I wrote a while ago, and I had someone turn it into a script. And it's the dishwasher one where it's like I have Anthony Huang. I don't know if you know who he is. He's a young man, a fun guy.
He's in Blue Suede.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I didn't know how to say anything because you said you didn't want to say anything. But I love Anthony. I never met him, but the funny thing is, like, he said, you know, when he first started really getting the stunts, he's evolved so much. I think maybe it's a good reason why it's going to take – you know, maybe it's taken so long because of his reasons he's getting that much experience, he's going to beat the crap out of me in my own film. So it's kind of like we're going to go one-on-one because I got to show that I'm not perfect. You know what I'm saying? Because even though I'm a lead, if I show that I'm too perfect, it's going to look stupid. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be like,
no,
oh,
right.
Yeah. You know,
because that's one of the number one reasons why Scott Adkins didn't get the role for the Raid American remake. You know that,
no.
Right?
No,
because,
no.
The reason why is because, if you remember the Raid, the character in the Raid is more, especially Raid 2, when you watch it, he doesn't seem like a tough guy. He seems like a guy that cannot defend himself. He seems kind of weak, a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me? But you put a guy like Scott Adkins in that role, you already know Scott Adkins. You know he can fight. But you throw somebody that, you know, that really cannot, the audience can believe can be damaged, it draws the audience a little bit more. You follow?
Yeah, I get exactly what you mean because, you know, when they make people look too perfect, it's like you got to be kind of screwed up a little bit because that makes it look, even though it's film and it's like make-believe, you can't be too perfect because then it's be like all Chuck Norris-y. You know, it's kind of like, what do you want to be, another Chuck Norris? I'm like, everything's so perfect. It's like, I love Chuck, but it's like if you're trying to do stuff like that nowadays, it doesn't make you seem like a real person unless you're Superman or something.
But granted, Scott's amazing. I mean, he's an amazing actor, an amazing talent.
Oh, yeah.
But for that
that
film, the casting, the choice didn't see that for that character. And I do understand that. You know, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I get that 100%. But, you know, it's like he's insanely, he's kind of fast. And he does play bad guys. Can you talk about a little bit of the plot at all? I mean, is there anything you can tell us about Bruce Wayne that you're allowed to?
I can definitely tell you about the plot. I mean, the plot, the short version, straight to the point, is that it's an Asian-Italian mob film about a turf war in Chinatown. And what occurs is that the Asian mafia are moving in and moving the Italians out. And a cop ends up dying in the crossfire. And the FBI are forced to come in and try to clean house. And it's basically an undercover sting. It involves, you know, the same action mafia element between the two sides. And the Jamaican side are throwing the mix. And the Japanese, what's the mob? The Japanese mob. I'm tongue-tied right now. You know the Japanese mob.
Yakuza.
So it's basically the Yakuza and the Triads all mixed up. It's one big pot of soup, and the audience is watching because they know something's about to explode. It's a lot of tension, very, very tense. And the way I structured the script and the way I want to deliver the film is that the intensity, the action of the old Asian action films of the hard-boiled and Game of Death of Bruce Lee, where it's just straight action, no time for joking around. Everyone's just straight fisticuffs, none of that Jason Bourne-type action, but you see the hand-to-hand combat. You see the choreography, the dance style. You see all that.
Yeah, when you film that, right, the thing that drives me crazy a little bit, you know what shaky cam is, right?
No, you don't have to worry about it. That's not happening.
Because it's like they seem to, nowadays they do it so much that it's like, it's starting to drive me, like it's overdone now. And I'm like, why are they doing,
people think it's artistic. It's not artistic at all. Like, honestly, when I watch a film, I want to see the action. I want to see, the hand-to-hand. I want to see. And honestly, Shelley, though, don't you think that it's kind of maybe on a lazy front for the choreography? Because if the camera's moving really fast, they don't have to really do the choreography like that.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it a little bit here and there, but when they do it too much, I'm like, You're trying to watch what they're doing, especially if you have people that are stunt people and you use them, you know, that are actors and do their own stunts and everything like that. You want to see, you know, even if they're like, you know, basic and stuff, you want to see what they get. You want to see the beatings. You want to see the blood. It's like, I sound sadistic, but if you're really true and a hardcore action person, you want to see stuff. You know, you go here,
exactly.
You want to be entertained. It's all fake. You know, when people like talk about all blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, the stunt people, they train, like, their whole lives. Even, like, people,
exactly.
You know, like myself, it's basic. It's just a little bit of basic knowledge that I have. But it's very respectful of the art form. These people are putting their lives, you know, on the line.
Yeah, have you seen the new trailer for the new Mad Max?
No, I haven't seen it because I don't know if it's going to piss me off or not.
It's not. It's not. I honestly think you should watch it. Because there's no CGI in that film. George Miller went the old school way to what we like. You know, no CGI.
Oh, right.
You can see the action. Everything's like, you know, the way it should have been a long time ago. So it's something that you really will enjoy. I guarantee you. But another element that I want to throw in about Blue Suede, I know we haven't touched on, which Cynthia touched on a lot when she talks about the film, is that, you know, the females in the film are in the same kind of level as the men and are as dangerous
mm-hmm.
also as well.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. It's really awesome. And, you know, it's like, you know, to be partnered up, I mean, women, Cynthia Rothrock, my gosh, she worked, I think, I know she worked besides Michelle Yeoh
right.
in a film. And that's, I forget the name
yeah.
of the film, but I remember that they both had short hair.
Yes, ma'am. That's what it's called.
Oh, okay, because I was trying to remember it, and I know I can remember, you know, picturing them. It's just
right.
like once in a while, you get a brain fart. You know, you get that, and you try to
right.
remember everything live on the air. It's just how professional is that, right?
right?
I'm like, but, yeah, it's wonderful to hear that. And the reason why I'm excited about it is because this thing where, you know, women nowadays where, you know, it's almost off topic where I was talking about earlier with the women bodybuilding competition, they're trying to shut them down. Like the Arnold Classic. Yeah, there's a whole thing going on now, and there's a fundraiser. There's going to be a film and development in this woman, you know, all these women that are going through. And it's like, you know, if you don't really like it, don't date a woman like that. Don't, you know, you don't have to sit there. You don't have to understand it, but it's to personally go out of your way and degrade women that work so hard, you know, stunts and everything like that. And I hear guys complaining about it, and I'm like, I don't know if it's their insecurities and all that. I don't know what it is, or they get freaked out that women can do these things, where in society, you think nowadays it would be more accepted, because any woman that's in martial arts would actually make more of a woman. Do you know what I'm saying? It's more about respect
right.
and honor, and they don't get that.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I mean, personally, that's just what, you know, from what I see, and I'm like, you know, I'm just kind of glad that the world is opening up to me more, because I'm finding it, because, okay, universe, you ask the universe, it says, keep bringing the dragons and all this and all these positive things, and it does. The world's opening up more and more, and, you know, I can't remember how we friended each other. I never can remember it or something like that.
How we friended each other? What occurred was that I know about your radio show, and I seen that you're into martial arts, and then I was friends with Anthony Hong, and I seen that, you know, Anthony Hong has spoken highly of you. And I sent your friend request. Yeah, I sent you a friend request. And that was about about a year ago or so when we were filming our short film Killing Khan at the time.
Yes. Okay. All right. Yes, because I kept asking. I didn't know what you had time. I kept asking. I was like, where's some pictures of Anthony? Where's some pictures of Anthony? Because it was just like, I don't want to see him. I said, don't.
I know. I remember that. You're asking for pictures of Anthony. I remember that.
And I kept asking because there was everybody, I think it was Sean Doherty, Billy
right.
Valiant, Billy V.
Right.
And I was kind of like, I forget who else was on it, but I was like, you have Anthony. Where's his picture? I want to see his picture. Who's going to be the lead in my film? And just like seeing his stuff. Did you see his new reel, his new stunt reel? Oh, my God. You've got to see
right.
Anthony's stunt reel if you haven't seen it.
Oh, I've seen it. He's the real deal. Yeah, definitely seen it.
I mean, this kid set himself on fire. He knows to do the tricks in the car, and you know, it just he was a clown in the circus. And it's like, you know, some people say you're a clown. You know, what are you, some sort of clown? And I'm thinking like, Joe Pesci, what, you're some sort of clown? So they amuse me, and it's like, yeah, Anthony was a clown. Yeah. Oh my gosh. You know, I'll try. You know, it's like getting down there, but it's like I know you have to be calm and you got to be focused and work, but I'm going to be like, it's kind of like if I'm on set and all these people are there, Anthony and everyone, I'm going to be like, oh, my God, because I'm so excited. It's like you're supposed to be professional, but it's like I'm a little kid, you know, and this, all the world is opening up to me, so this is what I feel like because – networking, like the people I've networked with, right? I've watched their work my whole life, and then they're telling me, because you know how it is, the stunt business for the longest time, you know, we didn't have all this technology knowing who was in the credits and stuff, and you couldn't pause TV. So we didn't know who the stunt people were, but I've been watching their work my whole life. And it's like like my friend, my ninja pal, Stephen Lambert, he doubles for James Woods. He's worked with De Niro. He's worked with Pacino. And he was like an American Ninja, like all this stuff that I've seen. And he keeps posting these pictures of his work on his Facebook page. And I'm like, Stephen, you worked on that? Like, I'm just like, my jaw is literally permanently attached to the floor. He doubled for River Phoenix in one of the Indiana Jones films. It's like all this stuff. It's like he was like running on the train or something. He had a Boy Scout uniform on, and he doubled for River Phoenix. Like all these things he's done, he's been on top of the Adventure and Remo Williams when the Statue of Liberty was being fixed in the 80s. He was the only stunt person to be on the top of the Statue of Liberty's head and swinging up there. Like you just all this crazy stuff. I'm like, Stephen, you got cojones. He's mad. You're really nuts. And it's like he's so humble. I was like, he's been on my show. It's just like, you know, all these people that I want to let into my film. It's like people, you know, I'm doing my homework. I want to be smart. And you know, before I even write the script, I have an idea, and I have all these people. And I'm pretty sure, you know, getting the money, they'll work with me. Like Donald Dragon Wilson, you know. Picture him as a samurai. Now, he's a living legend, right? He's been in the Guinness Book of World Record 11 times, and he's an international kickboxing champ. His bloodline is Japanese, right? You know, and this is something that I was seeing, and I cannot believe no one saw this. And I looked at him, and I looked at his eyes in a picture, and I was like, he's a samurai. So I took a picture. I took this program, and I took Don Wilson's head, and I put it in the body of a samurai. And when I showed it to him, because I'm connected on my Facebook, he was like, oh, my God, Shelley, I love it. And I'm like, how could people not picture Donald Dragon Wilson as a samurai? Big, tall guy. And I was like, I took his son, Jonathan Hiroshi Wilson, who's been on my show, right? Jonathan's been on my show before as a guest, and took his head and put a samurai. And it's like I'm putting these ideas together, and they would be samurais, and they loved it. I'm like, how could people not picture this? And, I mean, it's just something that I've seen. All my ninja friends, like Stephen Lambert, I would have him, even though I like him a lot, have him play the bad guy because he has that much experience. He did a lot of crazy stuff. And he's still doubling for James Woods. And I was like, I'd love to have James Woods as the bad guy. And people are like, Shelley, you're nuts for thinking of all these ideas like Sylvester Stallone. I'd like him to play my dad. And the guy, Jay Giannone, I don't know if you know who he is, but
I know
he's
who he is.
Yeah, he's one of my film brothers, and I want him to play my brother, and it's like we're all related. Like, I don't want to say the plot, but it starts in Boston. Everybody that's in Boston, I'm going to be my family in Boston, they're all going to get brutally killed. Like, it's a challenge. You want to be in my film? And she's like, yeah. I says, well, I love you so much, but I get to kill you off in a brutal way. Like, everybody is just going to, like, die in Boston. It's like going to be a slaughter fest, but it's going to take me out to California. It'll make sense. And it's like, just because I don't have the money, I know the one thing I know, when you have big names attached to something, backers like that. And that's the one thing I do know, if you have the bigger the names, they'll want to be part of it. So I'm not business-like, but I do know that.
Well, also, bigger name also helps your outreach of your project being seen to a whole new spectrum by the masses also as well. Because when you do have a big name attached with just even if you don't have a full contract, you just have a letter of intent, which a letter of intent actually helps out the act, actor more than anything, because the actor gets another gig, he can just walk. He's not, you know, held accountable or tied to production. It just says that he's interested in production. And when an investor or distribution company sees that, you got, like, you know, say example, by example, you say, for example, you have a letter of intent from Jackie Chan in your film. You're more inclined to get a bigger name company like Sony to come by and be like, oh, let's check out this project. They're more inclined to give you money and finance the film with a name like that attached to it. You follow? So it helps you out with not just your actor, but getting it onto a broader stage.
That's just something. I try not to think about the money part. I says, like, because people's like, you know, I'm learning as I go, and you.
Oh yeah,
that's
definitely. You never think about the money. You don't think about the money part, because when you start thinking about the money, you lose your artistic integrity. You stop thinking about the artistic stuff.
You know, worry about it. I was like, okay, because people were trying to go over things. And says, you know, before I'm even writing the script and I have the ideas for the actors and stuff, and, you know, what's scary for me, this is, you're not going to believe, you're going to laugh, though, because this is totally opposite of what, you know. I'm like, I'm going to jump off a building, blah, 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 this, and I want to do things that almost get me killed, right? Now, the thing that I'm such nerve-wracking, because it's like I'll have, like, I'm going to have in the first part of Boston, like, my fiancé, he gets killed. He's either going to be my husband or fiancé, he gets killed, you know? And it's like there's going to be another kind of love interest, which is this guy, David Gere. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's down in Connecticut.
Well, I know Gere. We're friends.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So he's going to be like my, this, you know, to kind of show me that I'll be loved again, but it's going to be tasteful. And even a little, I'm so nervous, even a little, like a little peck of a kiss. I'm so nervous about that. You just don't even know. And it's like, I've seen David's work and I was like, David, I'm so nervous. I just like, like even holding your hands, you know, on screen, I'm going to be a wreck. I says, I'd rather jump off a building, but I think to have a little bit of romance, not anything, not having to take clothes off, having a sex scene, but to put that little bit romance in it to make it more realistic, not just all action, but just show my character's flawed and hurt, because everything that she's been through, and it's like then people coming into life out in California, it's like, oh, you know, it's kind of like being loved again because I lost all this, and David's going to show this compassion and stuff. I says, I think he can handle it because I'm a nervous wreck thinking that I'm trying to do this myself, but he's going to be kind of like a gentleman, you know, it's like that thing. So I think it's women think he's good looking, you know, women love him. So the feedback that I'm getting, they're saying he's very professional and he has a lot of experience. So everybody that's involved in the film, in the thing that I'm thinking of, I'm putting my trust in everyone because I'm a nervous wreck.
Right.
You know, and I was like, who knows? It's like, maybe I'm like, I just, since, you know, writing stuff, the other thing too, I don't know if you did this for your film, but I think I want to have in a contract where I'm still kind of in creative control. Because,
oh, yeah, definitely,
you know,
you got to have that. That's 100%.
Did you have that? Did you have that with your film?
Yeah, you got to have that.
Okay, because it's like I hear people on. Yeah, they sign it over, and I'm like, what was that? The thing that got wrong with the creative, the thing I was like, I talk about like whitewashing and stuff, and it was kind of like Airbender, and people like, well, that's just a cartoon, but I was like, well, you don't understand, they ruined it, because what they did is they did it, they kept it true with all, you know, the martial arts and all this stuff, and it was an Asian, you know, culture and all this culture. The thing is, the people, the guys that created, they signed the creative control over. And at the, you know, people were asking this as well, if you would do it again, would you do that? And they're like, no, because it totally ruined something beautiful. And even children were saying, it's like, what the heck? Because if when kids are commenting and saying how horrible it is, what does that say right there? If kids are even saying that, that's, you know, I just think you should always, you know, that's your vision. And if you sign it over, it's going to lose that vision. And it's not going to be yours anymore. So kind of glad you're doing that. So I'm going to give you props for that.
Oh, thank you.
So, because that's important. I mean, you know, anything else that you can tell us about us? Like, I know that I asked you to, you know, I was like, hey, if you want to call in for a few minutes, it's like, hey, if you want to stay on, or whatever, I know you're busy. Because I can, this is my show goes by so fast, it's already half over. Can you believe that?
That's, wow.
Yeah, it goes by. I'm telling you, like, I tell people it's 2 hours, and I guess they're like, they kind of like quiet up and says, yes, you can only do a half hour. This is when I have my guests lined up, and it's like, this is how it is. It's like a talking, and it's like we're sitting there talking. Next thing you know, it's like, you know, tap open, and then 2 hours. People are like, oh, my gosh, because this is how it happens. It just goes blah, blah, blah. And we just keep going on. It's like having a phone conversation. So, you know, is there anything else you can tell us about Bruce Wayne or anything, anything else, anything good? I mean, it's all good, but I mean, anything else?
I can elaborate a little bit more. I mean, the only thing I would say is that, you know, like I just stated before, is that authenticity and quality is what really care, what we really meant, what we really care about, you know, over anything. Quality and authenticity is what we care about, because in the end of the day, the American market, you know, CGI, it's fine. But in a larger spectrum, the Asian market, authenticity is really key, and they really want to see the fight style. And I think, honestly, our core group of audiences will appreciate that and want to see the old-school action. You remember those days, like, you know, every week it would be like Schwarzenegger film, a Van Damme film, or a Bruce Willis film, or an Arnold film. Chuck Norris film. It's just like every Friday you'd be at the theater watching an action.
Yeah,
film.
It's like I missed that. There was more. It was more because now everything's like a stream, but nothing can take the place. I mean, you know, it's like it's great to watch Netflix and stuff, but nothing beats the movie theater because you're in there with the big screen, and it's like even though with Jackie's films, who Jackie Chan's films, he's still. Yeah, he doesn't really do a lot of CG. I mean, some of it is, like, some of it has to be because it's, like, you know, going back in time or whatever. So some things might have to be CG. But all his fighting, you know, it's one-on-one practically contact. You know, he's really good at what he does. And that's why he's still loved. You know what I'm saying? The guy is, what, 60 years old now? He's still loved because of all that he's given. And I think that's what it is. It's like when people that are fighters, even Jet Li and Tony Jaa and all them, you know, as they get older, they're still loved. I mean, even like Sylvester Stallone, you know, all these people, you know, they're still loved because, you know, they do the fighting. Even the ballroom brawl and stuff like that, people still love that stuff. It sounds like we're a sadistic nation. We're like, love the beatdowns and all this stuff. Like, but it's, you know, it gets you out of your elements in films, you know, where I tend to think Blue Suede, it's just going to be like one of those films that, you know, I always think that, I mean, this is me. I don't care what anybody else thinks. It's like, I know I'll enjoy it. You know, it's just something that I can see because I think it's like the context and how everything's coming together, knowing all this stuff and even like, you know, getting to see it myself firsthand on a set, it's something that I'm like, I'm going to love. And I just know, like, you know, I can, like, sit there and talk about on the show, well, I've seen this and that. I mean, I can't tell you everything, but it's like, yeah. It's like I just talk about it, and I can write about it, you know. There's what I'm allowed to write, put it that way. Because I know there's, like, out of respect, you can't say certain things. I mean, you can talk about certain things, but I think you've got something really going, really good. I really, really do, Jared. I really, really do.
Thank you. You know, our hope is not. Our hope is not to, you know, our hope is to give it our all and to make future other projects. Because we got 3 other projects we got lined up after Blue Suede and with the same kind of element, authenticity, action, martial arts. And our hope is to just to try to inject that change of pace of the way the action element used to be within our industry. And also to injects a few changes, like really we are really huge on, you know, pushing the envelope as far as giving stronger female characters in our film. We hardly strongly believe in that, you know, because I am Shelley, I'm a huge, huge hater of that Tim Burton Batman. And you know why I am? One reason? Kim Basinger's character.
She screams
literally for a good 45 minutes in the movie.
Oh, my God, they still do this. I'm not just sad. It's like since you touched base on that where Okay, you're talking about Batman, right? Which was what, back, what, late 80s, early 90s or something, that
1989,
yes. Yeah, something like that. How is this, and this is a horror film. Now, you know nowadays whether women are into martial arts or not. You know mothers nowadays, they're going to fight for the kids, right? They'll say, I'm a tiger, I'm going to fight my kids. You know what ruined World War Z? Did you see World War Z with Brad Pitt?
I have not. I have not. My friend.
You're gonna just like want to choke the wife, the character, not the actress. Because whatever his name is, it's like, you know, there he is. He's trying to help, you know, he's got the two kids. And she's, you know, he's driving away, trying to get away from the zombies. And all she's doing is going, Jerry. I swear to God, I could count. Next time I watch, you can watch it on Netflix, count how many times she's screaming at her husband while he's trying to fight off zombies. She's like, the little daughters are like, oh, she can't breathe. Why isn't the wife taking care of the kids while he's fighting off the zombies? It just drove me crazy. I was like, just let her die. You know, it's kind of like not a bad thing, but just screaming in this type of film, it was not necessarily, because it was like it took away from the action. It's like stuff a sock down the character. Not, like I said, it has nothing to do with the actress because she's just doing her job. But
right. It's
kind of like, why was that necessary? Because it's like, you know, him working for the government, and it doesn't make any sense. It just drives me up the wall. Come on, you know. I mean, I can understand in some horror films, but this one, nah. It wasn't needed. It wasn't necessary. I hope the part two that comes out, the wife isn't going to be screaming, you know, in the second one, because I think there's going to be a second one. But watch it. You're going to laugh. Watch. You're going to, if you go tonight to watch it on Netflix, because I think it's on there.
I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, you're going to laugh because they're like, Shelly. Every time she screams, Jerry. You're just going to think of it like she's someone insane. You're going to feel for that because it was really a great, you know, the way they had the zombies, the berserker zombies. I'm not going to say much about the film, but they're berserkers, and it's like, damn! Because they're not just like full zombies. Just put it that way. They're just like, they run, they don't care, and just the way they snap at you with their mouth, it's like, oh, damn, what the heck? I just love it. I'm just a sadistic. People are like, Shell, she crazy.
No, but it's I'm not saying that for every film, but for our genre, it's always better when we see that in the film. Don't you ever get that? Like, it's always better when we see that kind of, like, you know, that toe-to-toe of the character of the guy, the lead cop or DA or CIA agent, and his partner, woman partner, they're on the same level. She chicks ass too. She takes down names, and it brings a kind of sex appeal and intrigue into the film in another layer for audiences, and they like it. People enjoy that.
Yeah.
You know, we all hate sitting in a theater where we constantly have the woman just talking about, please do something. She's screaming through your whole movie, and you're sitting in the audience. You're just like, just die.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, you want that screaming, like, you know, in action in the horror film, you want the woman that's screaming the most to die first. I know that's so bad sounding like that, but it's kind of like in this day and age. I mean, it's okay to a woman to be a little bit helpless, but screaming all the time, it gets annoying after a while, and it's like, you know, some women that do great screen jobs, I can't do a great screen job. I can't play a victim. I'm horrible at playing a victim in a horror film. I mean, I can take good beatings, but I can't, because I tried doing a zombie film and tried playing the victim.
In the horror genre, though, Shelley, it's understandable, because, you know, in the horror genre, it's kind of like, you know, it's a different element, though. You know, it's understandable in the horror genre, because I love the horror genre where, you know, like a Jamie Lee Curtis, Mike Myers.
That's different. I mean, it's like some of it does fit, but, you know, it's like kind of like what's kind of monotonous after a while. It's like, you know, like Jason. Okay, you know the movie Friday the 13th? He walks so slow. The girl's running and screaming. She's got the shirt off, and she's got like triple D's, and then all of a sudden she falls.
She's
halfway around the world.
Everything's flying everywhere.
Flopping around in the wind, and and it's like she could be running. She could be running, right? And Jason's like in China, and she's like in California. She trips and falls, and she's like, oh, my headache. And all of a sudden, Jason's right there. She's got 22 hours ahead of them. It's a flight to get to China or whatever. You know, it's like 24-hour flight, and she falls. All of a sudden, Jason's there. She's screaming. She's dead. What the heck?
Wow.
Come on now.
Wow.
I mean, some horror films like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you want the, you know, the bloody scream thing, but come on. A serial killer that walks so slow, they put him falling down. It's so cheesetastic. Like, when you're watching the older 80s films and stuff, but it's been done to death.
Right.
It's like, okay, she fell. It's like, not for nothing in real life. You're going to get up, and you're like, even if you had to cut your foot off, you're going to still go because your adrenaline is pumping, whether you have blood squirting out, you know, like your blood squirting, you got a tourniquet on, you're going to hop your ass off, or you're going to, like, you know what I'm saying? You're going to, like, you're going to do handstands running away. You know, it's kind of like it's survival. It kicks in. You're either going to die or survive, and that's any normal human being. You would take, you're thinking that's the way to go, you know? And I just said,
that's why I agree with you, because, you know, that's why, you know, casting-wise, especially in our local market, we do have a lot of good, strong women actresses in our local market. Carlene Fournier, I know you know her quite well. Natasha Hatalski, Kate Carson. She's not part of Blue Sway, but Kate Carson is an actress in our local market who does stand out as a strong female as far as playing roles, and she does everything. I mean, the woman does directing, writing. She does everything. I mean, that's like, you know, she's beyond words as what she does in our industry. But these are fine examples of women that, you know, in our industry that should be, that definitely got, are going to make it. You know, the hard work is going to pay off day in, day out, the work that they put in. But that's why our number one goal, going back to Blue Suede, has always been, we want this movie to go 1,000-plus screens. That's our number one goal. You know, it's not just for us, but also for our market and for the actors and actresses in all our local market as part of the project. And that's why it's been hard. You know, I'm not gonna lie to you, Shelley, say it's been easy on us. It's been hard, the constant negotiations back and forth to ensure that everything is going as planned. So that way, when this film goes to independent film festivals, we're putting out the best quality. So therefore, there's no way it cannot be denied to be seen in theaters. You follow me? That's our goal. Our goal is like an actor in Boston, like Al Chilele or Billy Veek telling his cousin out in L.A. or a cousin out in Ohio, hey, guys, Blue Suede just came out. You can walk in your theater and see it right now. That's my big dream. That's why everything's being. That's why, honestly, I put everything, my heart, my soul, and the guys that I'm with, like Russell Chaffee, Marie Brandt, Andrew Adler, our team, we put everything we had in this project. And, you know, we're taking a big gamble. I mean, we are, because we have a big dream, and we're going hard at it, basically.
Yeah, it's something that I do understand that. And so it's like I keep trying to support as much as I can, because I know what it is. You know, you've got the heart, and the passion, and it's like, I do believe in supporting people's dreams, no matter what it is.
Exactly.
I try to talk about it, and I tell people, I says, remind me, you know, about something so I can do a shout-out, even if you can't be on the show, do a little shout-out, even if like a 30-second thing. Just let me know what's going on. I try to keep track of everything, but it's hard. It's hard.
It is hard. No, it is hard. Listen, in our market, it's like, I don't know who's not doing an independent film in our market. It seems like everybody I know is doing a short film or feature in our market lately. Everybody's filming something lately.
Yeah.
The Project Greenlight contest, that's going crazy because everybody I know is submitting something for that.
What is it called? What's this one? I haven't heard
this one. Project
Greenlight,
the Ben Affleck, Matt Damon contest, submit a short, three-minute short film.
Oh, okay. Is it a specific particular theme or?
No, not a particular theme. Just cannot be no trailer. It can be anything that you want. You know, it's 3 minutes. You submit something that's 3 minutes, and they put you in the contest. And the winner wins like a feature film contract, stuff like that.
Oh, really? Man, I would have done, if I had the money, I would have done my script.
Because there can be only just one scene for 3 minutes. That's it.
Wow. You could actually do a short, your short action within 3 minutes. You can do that really good because, you know, if it's short, you can make, it's kind of funny because I think it's longer, it's a lot harder, but you could put a lot more effort in a very short time span.
Right. Exactly. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
You know, you just teased me again because you had mentioned a little while ago about you having a couple other films. I was like, great. You can't even talk about those yet. I know how that goes. You got to get this thing done first. Said, oh, I was like, great. You're calling me
Shelly, I can tell you at least the concept. I'll give you a little taste. How about that?
Okay, all right. I want a little appetizer for dinner.
One project we got coming up after this wrap is that we got a horror project. That one I cannot say the concept is complete. It's a game changer in the whole horror genre. We got that coming up. Then we do have a pilot that we're going to be shooting, which is a heist project. And then after that, I think I might as well say it now, it'll probably be my last martial arts film that I'll shoot probably in a while, unless things will change after next year, August. But it's basically overall CIA, involves CIA martial arts, and I'm hoping my dream goal is to get Cynthia attached as the lead. That's the hope and the goal for that project.
Sweet.
You know.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Who knows? You know, it's like getting things going. You're getting your name out there. People might be other, like, you know, name people that, hey, sounds kind of cool to be interested in. You never can tell, you know, once you do your work and stuff.
Never can. Because that's why it comes down to, you know, whatever happens, Louis Suede, you know, that's our number one. That's where our heart is right now. We have all those other projects lined up, but nothing's going to be done until Louis Suede wraps. You know, it's already in, those other projects are set up, already ready for us to jump into and start pre-production work, but Blue Suede is what matters right now. That's number one.
Hey, I'm pumped. I'm so pumped. I'm not going to be able to go to bed. Thanks. I'm going to be like laying here.
Anytime you want a night that you can't go to bed, just let me know. I'll call you. I'll call the show and tease you for an hour and a half, and
great.
You won't be able to sleep for 3 days.
This is just great. I'm just like, man, can you hear me? I'm going to be like, I'm going to be screaming after you get up all the way up here. You're going to feel like a tremor. You're going to feel like an earthquake. I'm going to be screaming up here like, you know, like Dragon Ball Z. Ah, what's that one word? I need to go. Something like, what's that one word? I'm going all singing on your butt. I'll be like, ah.
Or just scream Yu-Gi-Oh.
Dragon Ball Z. Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh, like, ah. Like, thanks. Just torture the Shelly. Torture me at my expense. Thanks, JR. I just appreciate it now. Just like, you know, it's
I'm an appetizer without dinner. Shelly, I'm only here to help you. That's all I'm here to do.
Yeah, you help me in the nut house. Yeah, that's great. I'm going to be asking him on this phone call. You know, after you, I was like, just tease me. Just wait. Just wait. You know, what do they say? Karma? Just wait. You know, you're going to be like, yeah, I come down on set. Wait. You're going to be like, oh, God. You're going to drive me crazy on set. Just you wait and see. It's like, really? Be careful what you wish for. Because I remember you kept asking me. And I'm like, yeah, I'd like to be on the set because you had mentioned something. I didn't know who was attached to it. I was like, yeah, I mean, seriously, says, yeah, I'll be kicked in the head for something. Then when you tell me who's part of it, I was like, yeah, have them all kick me in the head like a pinball machine or something.
Right.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's my goal. I want to be in the Guinness Book of World Records, the actress that gets kicked in the head the most. You know, before,
that's
yeah, that's my dream come true. I don't think
right.
so, no. I'm going to
no,
look it up. I'm
going
to actually Google it. Nope, I don't think so. I was like, how many times? I was like, yeah. But that's going to be my goal in life. How many times in movies have you been kicked in the head to go in the Guinness Book of World Records? I'm going to set a record.
That's going to be a lot of kicking, a lot of movies.
Yeah. It'll be kind of like, you know, that'll be my shtick. You know, everybody's got these weird shticks. That'll be my shtick, being kicked in the head. That's it. I think people That's enjoy so that, you know? People are like, yeah, right. She's getting kicked in the head, you know? So I'm just like, you know, I'm like, what time is it? It's like after 10:30 or something right now. See? Told you to go by fast. You know?
It does, right? I didn't even realize that time go by quick. Wow.
Yeah, I told you. I said, you want to call and say hi? Say, hey, what's up? So is there any, like, if people want to check you out, like, what's your websites and stuff, JR?
You can go on bluesuedemovie.com to check out Blue Suede. Go on our fan page. I think we have over 10,000 plus fans by now on our Blue Suede.
On the Blue Suede one? Hello? Oh, gosh. I'm going to try to see if I can call him back. I think he just got disconnected. Okay. I'm like, what? He just dropped the call. JR, hello? It just says it dropped. Darn it. Let's see if I can call him back. I'm going to dial him. Let's see what happens. Okay. All right, calling him.
Hello?
Hey, JR.
Hello?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, it was like, hey. I was like, I don't know what happened. I'm like, hey, the call just dropped.
Who's this?
This is Shelly.
Shelly, from where?
Maybe this is the wrong number. Sorry.
Yeah, who are you looking for?
Radio show. Junior Hepburn, JR?
Oh, nah, this is the wrong number.
Okay, well, thank you. Sorry to bother you.
It's okay.
Oh, that's strange. JR? Oh, gosh. Hey, I just called up. Just try to call him again. Oh, gosh. Let me see. That's just really strange. It just would not let me dial out his number. Okay, live on the air. Let's handle this. Some technical difficulties. Oh, what is it? You know, it's got to be a perfect show or whatever. Like, let's see. Oh, let's see. Make sure I call the right number. I'm calling the number again.
You have reached the voicemail box of 508-484-3.
Oh, no. Sorry about that. JR. Oh, gosh. Let me see. I'm going to send him a message. What happened? Let's see. I'm sending a message. Well, maybe it's just like one of those weird connections. I do thank JR for calling in, trying to call him back. Just really, really strange. Try him one more time here. Try it again.
You have reached the voicemail box of 508-484.
Oh, gosh. Hey. I can't get him. Oh, but J.R. Hepburn, thank you for calling in. If you can call again, it's guest calling is 347-989-1473. JR, thanks for calling in. I'm going to send him another message. Drop call. Okay. I'm just going to send him like send him a message now. I'm like trying. Tried to call you back. Sorry. Trying to call him back. Looks like for some reason it's not letting me get a hold of him. Did try. You heard that? I did try. What I'm going to do is play a song here. I'll be back in one moment. It's Back for You All by Sacrifice, and I'll be back.
Yo, I'm back. You knew I couldn't stay away. It's in my blood. This is what I'm good at. This is what I'm meant to do. Check it. back in the lab again, back on the road. Crack spit on tracks when I rap, shit is so. Oh, they gonna love it, but they bugging when I speak. So run and tell your cousins, get your budgets when I leak. Back to the pen, pen, paper to the pad. Tracks so authentic, yes, the haters getting mad. Back to the music like a user need a pad. Never could kick the habit, I'm an addict for the lab. Words turn to verbs, verbs burst through the mics. Mics like when I write, cause I light when I write. Back to the rhythm, living, can I get a rhyme? Plus a line, it'll kill them, every time I spit I shine. Back to the booth, goose. Give me chills, I'm the truth from the loops. Oops, scoops with the skills. Soundproof on the wall gives me the peace of mind. Like it's me and my rhymes, ain't nothing but some time. This is my life, and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these freeze. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop, it's the essence of my soul. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. Back in the studio, back on the grind. I'm living every minute trying to nurse another line. Does this rhyme with that? No, it doesn't give a scratch. Add this instead of that, now you got another track. Back in the backstage, waiting to perform. Working on the words, words waiting to be born. Warning from the storm of fans, waiting for your turn. Freeing in my head, that's the cry for the storm. Back in the battle, raps, tracks like my scars. And my raps like the battle axe, rap for the stars. Every word is ammunition, and I'm spitting, hitting hard. Written, kicking, vicious system, sticking. Rippers pick apart. Sacrifice is my ambition and my reason on this earth. Grab a mic, it's my religion, and the beat is my church. Verses are my sermons, and my service is a prayer, and my prayers are getting answered every day that I'm here. This is my life, and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these freeze. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One goof, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop, it's the essence of my soul. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. Back for the fans, fam, damn, I never leave. Back for the late nights, right until I sleep. Back for the line that I never got to write, because I didn't have a pen when it came into my sight. Back for the pen, back for the pad, and I'm back for every opportunity I never had. Back for the gift that I will never waste, or mistakes that I take to the grave when I break. Back for the squad, back for the fam, back for cardiac, tragic in the camp. Back for Stitch Magic, wisdom in the fam, and every fan that believed in me, I never gave a chance. Back for the love, for the craft that I hold, for the fire that's within and the ice that is cold. Back for my boys, and I'm back for their life, and I'm back for a promise that I made to my wife. This is my life, and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these freeze. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop, it's the essence of my soul. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all.
Alrighty, I'm back. I think I got chair and holding here. Give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. I told you, this show just goes by so fast. You never know what happens. So, you know, never know. So give me one moment here.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. I was trying to call your number, and I didn't realize it was like, I thought you had a voicemail, and I'm trying to stop it before it says, like, your telephone number. I'm like, oh, no, no. I'm like, la. Like, live on the ESM like an idiot. So I'm going, I'm like, shut up, no. Because I don't like to give out the telephone number. It's like saying happy. I'm going to go, no. Because I didn't know I was going to do that. I never called the number. I'm like, I almost was going to say, you know, like, what was it off of that Kevin Smith film when Jane Silent Bob were outside of the Packy store there? There was it called?
Clark's
going, F, and it's like, I'm going, oh, I'm going to pull, like, MJ right now, live on the air. I'm like, no, and I started swearing, saying the F-bomb, dropping left and right on my own show. I'm like, oh, feeling like Homer Simpson, but... Thank you so much for calling back in. You know, before you, I was like, I wanted to at least say goodbye to you. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. Anytime. Definitely. Thank you for having me.
Same here. And I'm just like, just to let you know, the show is archived, and you're going to hear that whole schmeal when you weren't on the air. And I'm like, oh, no. So you're going to get a good laugh at me acting like an idiot on my own show.
That's funny.
So thank you so much for calling in and being patient. And, yeah, let me know. I'd like to have you a guest on my show because I always like to announce a couple of days ahead of time. I know this was, like, probably, you know, just saying, hey, calling for a few minutes, and you kind of ended up being, like, a guest on my show.
Definitely.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, just let me know any news. Just send to me on Facebook. And I do appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you. Definitely. We'll talk soon, Shelly, definitely.
All righty. Well, you have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, my gosh. That was just so awesome. All the awesome news. I'm telling you. I get it. It's like, because I'm not, you know, like I say, I never wanted to be Barbie. I always wanted to be a ninja. See? Promote what you love. Love what you promote. See? It's just like the universe all comes in one circle. You know, you keep asking for the dragons and all the martial artists and everything like that. It's kind of like, you know, sharing my childhood with, you know, the people out there, showing stuff that I love. And, you know, it's just the ball. This is what's cool about radio. And it's like being in charge and stuff and taking care of the radio show. It's fun. And, you know, having my guests on my show, it's just like, it's very, like, laid back. So if anybody out there, you know, wants to call in, I still got a little time. The guest call-in number is 347-989-1473. Again, the number is 347-989-1473. You can call in. And, you know, giving props once again to Fitness Center. I started working out, and I just can't wait. I want to go right now. I want to end the show and go right now. It's like the middle of the night. I want to go. I'll just try to get up early. It's like, you know, when that alarm clock goes off and you want to, like, work out at that time, you're just like, I just don't want to get out of bed. But, you know, you get to push it like Rocky. I just enjoy it. I enjoy Obie's Fitness Center. I love it so much, like, working out there. I'm a little sore right now. Can't wait. Can't wait to go work out tomorrow morning. It's just going to the sauna, too. Oh, my gosh. It's like a warm, loving embrace of warmth, you know. So also trying to pull it up again, you know, with the fundraisers and stuff that I'm doing. The other one besides I'm working on here. Also, my friend Teresa Dern, she does a service, Eat My Dust House Cleaning Service, serving the South Shore of Massachusetts. Earth-friendly and pet-friendly. Find her on Facebook or schedule a cleaning call. Teresa at 323-704-6812 or email Teresa Dern, T-H-E-R-E-S-A-Dern, D-E-R-N, at yahoo.com. And the other one to check out, Too Big for the World, an Indiegogo fundraiser for a unique film about woman's dream and about muscular women in the world and their struggle to be accepted for who they are. I'm also, too, with the, the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame, where I'm board of the advisor. I'm collecting funds to raise for a new museum, and currently the Hall of Fame is without a home and needs financial support to enable them to afford a building which to welcome visitors. Anyone interested in participating in this effort may make a tax-deductible donation to the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame and mail to 81 West Cane Creek Boulevard, 81 West Cane, K-A-N-E, Creek, C-R-E-E-K Boulevard, number 12, Moab, M-O-A-B. Utah 84532. For more information, contact John Hagner at 435-260-2160. And once again, the number is 435-260-2160. His email address is johnhagner@gmail.com, J-O-H-N-H-A-G-N-E-R @gmail.com. For additional information, go to Facebook and click on Falling for the Stars, an artist of the stars and stunt stars and legends, and check that out. So once again, I have a little bit of time left. I want to play a little bit of music.
Call my boys, man, I need me a wingman. Wait a minute, yo, I'm the whole plane. I'm kind of listen here, yo, we pushing the limits. Yo, tell me you feel it, we higher than birds. Find me a shorty, cause I got them words. Never need a flashlight, I grow on my own. Cartier, baby, now I'm in the zone.
gotta walk this way and tell me the same. Shine on me, gotta shine on me.
Saved my life when I was a wreck. It told me to take the noose off my neck. Taught me respect, hustle, collect a check. Just a young prospect with the perfect intellect. The object to control my fate and bring it to you raw with no debate. I dealt with the hate so I have no fear. I roll through you pussies like a pap smear. I'm a reservoir dog, I'll take you right here. So come on with that, get the fuck out of here. Beware, I swear, I'm ready, no lie. When it come to rap, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to fly, but I'm hungry as hell. And I always got the streets if this record don't sell. So come on, God, keep blessing me. In my heart, the rap game is my destiny. I think better when the pressure's on, and I'm broke as a joke, facing a storm. I work harder in my room, depressed with this eviction notice, facing homelessness. I'm at my best right after I fail, and the judge tells me I gotta go back to jail. I'm real when I say rap's why I live, and the only other reason is for my kids. What's a hot track without a dope beat? It's like death row without the D-R-E. What would rap be without Snoop and Nas spitting the truth over 16 bars? What would rap be like without the game? 50 and M, it wouldn't be the same. Where would rap be at without Park and Q? Half of us gangsters wouldn't have shit to do. Man, I love hip-hop, it's taking me places. The game never changes, only the faces. The race is divine, you can place in time. Success is hard to find, what can happen if you grind? I'ma eat off rhyme, my time to shine. No more sideline, I'm out to get mine. I'm not from Compton, I grew up on Slauson, but rap is in my heart from South Central to Boston. I think better when the pressure's on, and I'm broke as a joke, facing a storm. I work harder in my room, depressed with this eviction notice, facing homelessness. I'm at my best right after I fail, and the judge tells me I gotta go back to jail. I'm real when I say rap's why I live, and the only other reason is for my kids. The pressure's obsessive, compulsive disorder. I rap for my daughter to have running water. My son's in my mind when I rhyme to my recorder. I'm kinda sorta very lucky, I think, cause real hustlers like me are a stink. All I need is some ink to tell you what I think. Half these rappers talk shit and their breath is stink. Man, they rinky dink with no street cred. Try to step to me, I'll put your ass to bed. I rep the dead, lost dad when I was 10. Got two kids and plan to be around for them. So I do what I do and I won't ever stop. There's only chosen few who rise to the top. Some rise, some flop, some stand tall. But the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I think better when the pressure's on, and I'm broke as a joke, facing a storm. I work harder in my room, depressed with this eviction notice, facing homelessness. I'm at my best right after I fail, and the judge tells me I gotta go back to jail. I'm real when I say rap's why I live, and the only other reason is for my kids.